Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Datangi mai erano
Oh, yeah.
Music from the traditional island people, Maori, of Aotearoa, what some English people refer to as New Zealanders. That was an indigenous song, and it is the theme song of a very fine Native American radio program entitled First Voices Indigenous Radio from my friend, host, and producer, Lakota brother Teokasin Ghost Horse, whose program airs on WBAI 99.5 Pacifica Radio every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And, of course, that is New York City Pacifica Radio Station. And we begin our program with that song, his Maori theme song, because today's program focuses on indigenous peoples in the media, and we'll be featuring a segment from Teokasin's First Voices Indigenous Radio in a little while. Ashkwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. Today's program focuses on media and indigenous peoples, the role of journalism. This is an important subject in Indian country. It is still a sad fact that most Native peoples' issues throughout the world are mostly ignored by the mainstream press. Media is an important sector of the world society. How journalists cover news and world events have great implications for society. While in the past decade there have been some progress in culturally diversifying newsrooms, there are still too few journalists of color. This is especially true for Native American and other indigenous peoples. Print, radio, and television production is still composed of and run primarily by Euro-American journalists. I know of no senior management staff in mainstream media that is an indigenous person. How, then, can one expect good, balanced coverage of Native issues if mainstream media has no staff expertise or concern about tribal issues? The rare occasions mainstream media reports on a Native subject, that coverage is often slanted and sensationalized. There is usually little or no cultural or historical background to help the public correctly understand the context and subject matter of a news report. These facts have been substantiated by research from a number of reputable journalism centers, the Poynter Institute, the Annenberg School, and Unity Journalists of Color are several respected examples. Within the past 10 to 15 years, there has been the establishment of a number of fine indigenous media initiatives. I am very proud of my fellow native journalists who have created a variety of Indian newspapers, radio programs, and television broadcasts. These communication sources have presented news and information despite many obstacles to remain in production. When my Wolf Mountain Radio began its broadcasts in 1979, there were only a few Indian radio programs on the air. Now there are a number of other excellent indigenous radio programs in many parts of the world where there are Aboriginal communities. In Indian country, in what's now called North America, several examples include AROS, American Indian Radio on Satellite, Native America Calling Talk Show, First Voices Indigenous Radio, Aboriginal Radio out of Canada, American Indian Movement AIM Webcast Radio, and KPFT's People of the Earth Native Program. Sporadically, there are a few community radio stations that provide limited airtime for a show that might feature some Native news or music in their programming. However, in this ever-growing politically conservative climate in Washington and Ottawa, it seems to be getting hotter and hotter for community and tribal broadcasters to stay on the air. If there was ever a time when diversity is most needed, it is now in the early years of the new millennium. Racism and cultural intolerance seems to be on the rise. The virulence of white supremacy is regaining strength. Anti-Indian racism is growing and expanding at an alarming rate across North America. This hate movement has become well organized. It is well funded. As Wolf Mountain Native Radio has reported in previous programs, this anti-Indian threat is no longer just some local crazy fringe group of outcasts and skinheads. They are now an organized, sophisticated network. They produce their own racist media propaganda. Several examples include PAR, the Interstate Congress for Equal Rights and Responsibilities, and Nation United. One of the important priorities of Yat Kitishi Native Center, host and producer of Wolf Mountain Native Radio, is counteracting these anti-Indian media sources by broadcasting news and information about indigenous peoples in an accurate and honest manner. I am proud to say that Radio for Peace International, the global community radio station our Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices program broadcasts on, in which I serve on RFPI's International Board of Advisors, has had for many years a Stop Hate Radio campaign. This campaign monitors the far-right radio extremists that spew out lies and hatred on their right-wing airwaves against people of color. Radio for Peace International and Yat Kitishi Native Center actively fight against racist broadcasting and racist print journalism. Yat Kitishi Native Center's Minnewokan News Bureau serves as a focal point for Native news and information. One important goal of ours is to portray Native people and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures and history. We hope our worldwide radio program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, informs and educates the public in order that they develop better appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and Indigenous peoples. This is an important role for all media. There needs to be an honest, open dialogue between Native peoples and the white man if racism and xenophobia are to be eradicated. Failure to do so will just create another generation full of ignorance that perpetuates racism in behavior and negative stereotypes towards Indigenous peoples and peoples of color. The Native press, although too few in number, is doing a good job in this important need. Unfortunately, mainstream or mass media is not doing a good job in covering Native people's issues or educating the general public. In today's program, we share a conversation on this subject from an excerpt of WBAI's radio program, First Voices Indigenous Radio. This is an excellent one-hour weekly program. It is heard every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Pacifica Radio Station in New York City, WBAI 99.5 FM. You can tune in on the Internet audio broadcast at www.wbai.org. The host of First Voices Indigenous Radio is Lakota Brother Teokasin Ghost Horse. This particular program segment we will hear is from First Voices Indigenous Radio show that featured a live interview by Teokasin with two Native journalists who were his guests. They are Jacqueline Batiste, host of KPFT's Peoples of Earth radio program, and myself, Ones Pritzker, host and producer of Radio for Peace International's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wontakwisin, to all of our relations.
Kimosabe, the wind that blasts now, Kimosabe, the Hollywood.
Native American music from Turtle Island Music and CDs. That particular artist, her name was Denise Lansley. The song, Warrior Song, and to me that represents all of our brothers and sisters who are warriors now, working to dispel the negative stereotypes and images such as the Hollywood Indian and other examples of how Native people have been wrongly depicted and portrayed in print and in media such as film and television. And it's very important that journalists, indigenous journalists, work very hard to teach the true culture and history of indigenous peoples and present really in accurate ways how we live here on Mother Earth as sovereign Aboriginal nations with a variety of different languages and traditions and cultural beliefs. But as one thing that seems to unite indigenous peoples all over the world is that we have reverence for Mother Earth and we respect the native principle of caring for the seven generations to come into the future. And so I really am very appreciative and proud of all my native brothers and sisters, journalists out there, such as my friend, Lakota brother, Teokasin Ghost Horse, who, as I mentioned earlier, is the host and producer of First Voices Indigenous Radio, a weekly one-hour excellent program broadcast on Pacifica radio station WBAI, New York City 99.5, and on the internet at www.wbai.org. And I want to go now to Teokasin's program where he focused on the subject of indigenous peoples in the media, and perhaps you could categorize it as a discussion as to why there is not enough respect and coverage about Native issues and why the Native voice still has serious troubles to be heard on the airwaves.
First Voices Indigenous Radio is basically about bringing the voices to the airwaves, the experiences, perspectives, struggles, and of Indigenous people who have been almost totally excluded from both mainstream and progressive alternative media. Our purpose is to help ensure the continuance and survival of Indigenous cultures and nations by letting people, the people, tell their story in their own words, and often in their own languages and ways of speaking. We hope that you can become educated and informed, get activated, bring down your romanticization, and break free of your stereotypes, and begin to form a real relationship with indigenous-based communities all over the world, and especially through the airwaves here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. This is Teokasin Ghost Horse. It is 10:20. Here on WBAI New York 99.5, here on Wall Street, where the wall was built to keep the Indians out and the slaves in, and those people who think that they are in charge, well, they're not really in charge. I just want to, well, we will be talking a little bit more about the attempts to eliminate Indian oral tradition and also the minimal voice of indigenous peoples across the United States. There are 2.5 million Native peoples, and probably growing a lot faster right now because we understand we're getting, basically, we get it, quote unquote, we get it. So we are going on, and as WBAI has offered this program on Thursday mornings, there is other programs in throughout the United States that are happening too. There is People of Earth, which is on Thursday mornings, I believe it's at 10:30 on KPFT in Houston. The People of Earth, that's hosted by Jacqueline Batiste out of Texas. And also we will be going to RFPI's own Owenis Pritzker, who is Wabanaki, and he is in Florida, Naples, near Naples, Florida. And he is a native person who is a biologist, and he has brought journalism to biology, or earth to biology, or earth to journalism. and he's offering his perspective on the attempts to eliminate the Indian oral tradition throughout the world, actually. And I don't say Indian, I say native as indigenous person. And I'd like to welcome you, Jackie, from KPFT in Houston.
Hey. Yeah, I'm from People of Earth here in Houston at 11 o'clock Central Time here in Houston.
What is 11 o'clock Central Time? Is it? It's 10:20. How could you be ahead of us, Jackie? Wait a minute. It's 9:20, right?
No, I mean the show airs.
Oh, the program. Oh, sorry about that. 11 o'clock. So you're doing one today?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. Okay, we'll make sure we note that. And Onus Pritzker, thank you for joining us this morning for First Voices Indigenous Radio.
Ashwe, good morning, and thank you, Yorkeson.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir, although I couldn't hear the program this morning on my computer. We're having audio trouble, I guess, on the link.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure we get you a copy of today's program if you need that.
Thank you, sir.
And you heard of my little commentary before we started. I would like to both of you to listen to what I just have to read here. It is from a friend of mine, Ross Hamilton, who works in conjunction with Doug George of the Mohawk, and also with Vine Deloria Jr. of the Lakota people.
Great
out
people.
In South Dakota. And his name is Ross Hamilton, and he's written several books. And one of them last year was sent to me, and he basically addresses myself, and he said, just before World War One, Robert Lowy, who was a student of a very influential person by the name of Franz Boas, who was a curator of the American Museum of Natural History, he, quote, threw down the gauntlet and challenged with a sort of aggressive intent anyone who would use a native or indigenous oral tradition as an element to promote scientific conclusion. And at that time, 1899, Boas' agenda had outlined a new approach to anthropology, and he was seeking to professionalize the study, eliminating the soft science aspect, which is including native oral tradition. And what happened at that time, I'm paraphrasing now, is the primitive notions of native people all over the world, but namely the Western Hemisphere, the enlightened reasoned philosophies that was brought in with social Darwinism. In other words, they thought because they had the science, everything was defined, and they had that conquering mentality, as they yet still do. And they came up with the facts of native architecture, artifacts, astrology, all those sciences that they defined through their eyes as native. Native science was just not credible. But it was overpowering for the amount that they were finding at that time here at the University of Columbia. A woman by the name of Ella C. Deloria, who is also a Lakota from South Dakota, was Franz Boas's right-hand woman, so to speak, and took all his notes. And they gathered in 1899 because they were overwhelmed with this wealth of information, and like I said, the material wealth of discovery, so to speak. And what he did, Robert Lowy and Franz Boas, gathered all the great scholars, religious leaders, the political leaders from around the world, including within the United States. And as they gathered, they were appalled by all this new so-called technology, astrology, and wisdom. And they said, basically, that this knowledge and wisdom would usurp the rule of democracy by the white man, or the white man in this world, and that they would not want this to happen. And so they decided to keep Indian knowledge, native knowledge, out of textbooks, out of common everyday newspapers, out of, you know, just conversation. That the Indian was in fact diminished and gone, and therefore there was no need to bring forth their knowledge as a civilized people, because then it would call to question their ideas of what civilization was about. And that's what from 1899 was given to the rest of the Americans. And that's why we are very minimal as a voice, and not listened to as indigenous people. Stereotypically, we are viewed as backwards people, and that, you know, just because of our speech cadence, our cadence of speech, which is different because our thought processes, which are different also.
Yes.
And so what I'm saying here is this: why and what is your experience? Well, I'll start with Onus, with native radio.
Thank you, sir. And what you're saying is very important, because the media plays a central role in forming and setting so-called national, international perspectives, values, and agendas of society. And the media, so-called mainstream media, especially in what's now called North America, they usually, as you said, totally ignore our cultures and native struggles of indigenous peoples throughout the world. And on the rare occasions that the press or media decides to cover a tribal issue, most often that news coverage is in error and usually very racist. And it's a very sad situation that, unfortunately, Native wisdom and knowledge is denigrated to the term folklore a lot of times. And really, there's no respect for the fact that indigenous peoples all over the world have an incredible amount of science and knowledge, because we are earth-based people, because many of us still try to follow our traditional cultural life ways based on the cycles of Mother Earth and the animal and plant people that teach us not only how to live in peace with one another, but also the correct way of living in what in English is called sustainable development or science. And so to answer your thought here, it's just racism, pure and simple. And it goes back to a lot of it to what our Shawnee brother scholar activist has written about, Steve Newcomb, on going back to the Pope in 1493 with that declaration of the Intercerebral Proclamation that called for the Euro-American white people to go forth in the name of Christendom, in the name of Christianity, to conquer all the lands and peoples of non-white world. And so going at least back there, probably even further back in so-called history, we see this racist view continuing, and the media as mouthpieces of colonialism, and I guess now the term is globalization, continues that. And so briefly, what I try to do on my program, which is called Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, which is a weekly worldwide shortwave radio and computer webcast online internet broadcast, we present the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, music, interviews, commentaries, and investigative reports. And we try to do that directly by, as you do, Teocasin, very well, interview guests, you know, who are traditional indigenous peoples who are very much respected and recognized and authorized to speak on the different subjects that we try to get the voice of indigenous peoples out. I hate the word Indian. As you know, it comes from Indios, from spiritual people that that clown Columbus misunderstood when he landed here in the Western Hemisphere. The station that I am honored to be a part of is called Radio for Peace International. You can find out more at www.rfpi.org. And this worldwide global community radio station is special because in 1992, we hosted an international gathering or conference in Powwow that brought many traditional Native elders from many parts of the world together, called Peace on the Planet, Native Wisdom, Native Rights, and Mother Earth. And then in 1998, Radio for Peace International co-sponsored another gathering called Belonging to Mother Earth, Indigenous Wisdom and Healing, which brought faith keepers, wisdom speakers, indigenous spokespersons, traditional voices from all over the world. Again, this was in 1998, and I had the honor particularly to audio tape at the elders' request and permission authority all their plenary speeches, and I interviewed over the course of the week in Powwow about 60 Native traditional spokespersons, I like the word wisdom keepers, and all of those are in a series that can be ordered through Radio for Peace International. I'm not making a plug for that, but I'm giving an example how at least this one global community radio station is one of the few that I know of that has any respect for the indigenous people's voices.
And where is that?
We're located in what's now called Costa Rica, Central America, and we were broadcasting on the grounds of the UN University for Peace. However, one of the colonial clowns that have taken over that institution is a person who was also the Director General of the Earth Charter, Maurice Strong, and he objected to some of our programs on globalization. So we were literally kicked off the grounds, and we are now transmitting from another location in Costa Rica. But we've been on the air for 15 years, this Radio for Peace International.
Okay, Onus Pritzker out of Florida. Stay with us, Onus.
Thank you.
Jackie Batiste out of KPFT with People of Earth. You heard the opening comments that I made about the attempts to eliminate oral tradition of indigenous peoples. You, as a broadcaster, have been doing your program for quite a few years. Is it 10 years or 15 years?
Well, actually, no. It's only a couple of years.
Okay.
Well, a little more than that, but since Pacifica was brought back into being the original Pacifica mission.
I see.
Before that, I did do programming there, but then it was taken off the air when a lot of the ethnicity and a lot of the spoken radio, information radio, was taken off the air.
Mm-hmm. As a result of that so-called coup, was People of Earth the first program to go at KPFT?
It went in 92, and a lot of us were really working to, I just enlightened the general public about what was going on in Pacifica, like, especially, you know, the activists who could have been there with us. We were really struggling at that time, even to try to get the other Pacificas to acknowledge the situation that we were having here, because Houston was hit first, because they felt like we were the weaker ones, perhaps, and that they could hit us. And so all of the stuff that came to all the other stations started in Houston. And so we stood up. I mean, I was part of that, and knowing that any kind of programming or anything that we did, they would take negatively the power structure.
Mm-hmm.
But go back to your original question,
mm-hmm,
about when you spoke about the Darwinism and the word, you know, the language that they like to use, the primitive notions, and
right,
as opposed to the enlightened reason of the invaders.
Mm-hmm.
So I do, you know, as with, we are still indigenous people, even though they've tried to whitewash us and try to eliminate us as a voice,
mm-hmm,
as a people. Also in the European descendants. Well, all of that I see is still existent today, and yes, it does come down to our daily lives, our workplace, even in radio, wherever we go, because people are acting out of these so-called enlightened notions, and still, that kind of, if we're not willing to play the game, if we don't know how to play the game, if we're not willing to go along with a program, if we're not included in the power cliques that evolve, if we're not willing to be patronized, you know, and as far as globalization, I think that indigenous people, we are connecting globally on our own.
Yes.
That we have our own globalization that's going on, you know, and at the grassroots level, and I very, very much honor that and respect that. So, I think in media it's really important for us to connect with people who really understand the situation. It's really important for us to be connecting with each other, to keep us informed, to keep us, even sometimes you never know, just having that word of support and confidence really pushes you to open other people up or yourself to new levels where you weren't at before. So it's very important to have these dialogues, to include other people, to let people in our communities know the power that we actually still have, that resides within us. And we have that ability to assist in all of that with our radio programs and with what we do, and by bringing out the real voices. Because, you know, I know that the programming I do, sure, there's a lot of people out there that are tuning in for the first time, or people who listen all the time, or people who want to get at us through our spirituality, but not necessarily about all the issues that we're presenting to them, you know, about the situation of Native people today, the real situation. And some people only come to Native people because they want to take a certain aspect of it, and it's usually like some spirituality or something. So, yeah, we do get hit with that. You know, when we ever open the phone lines, we get a lot of, well, I want to know how to find out how I can be, you know, claimed.
Yeah.
You know? And it happens every time. And I had to, you know, start making the statements that, because we would have some of the most profound people on, like Arvel Looking Horse, you know, like Carter Kemp, like Charming Whiteface. And then when the phone lines open up, first questions is like that. And it's so disrespectful to the honorable and wonderful people that we bring to the airways, you know. And they're talking about the most, you know, these situations that are going on in our communities that people need to hear about. So, anyway, so I guess basically I'm saying that we have we have a good situation where we can use the radio to assist the struggles that our communities are involved with, and to educate people who really want to be educated, who really want to be allied in a good way with us.
Our First Voices Indigenous Radio is the name of this program, every Thursday at 10 to 11. We are honored to have Jacqueline Batiste of KPFT and her 11 o'clock programming of People of Earth. And Onis Pritzker out of Naples, Florida, with his program on Radio for Peace International, honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous peoples. Onis, you were about to say something. Let's go back to the conversation.
Kabotnik, thank you. I wanted to just say I agree totally with everything Jacqueline has just mentioned. She said everything right, correct. I just wanted to briefly say, too, that I see a lot of Native community radio as a way of helping our next generation, our future generations, maintain our spirit ways. You know, the principle of the seventh generation, of how our thoughts and actions affect Mother Earth and the well-being of all life for seven generations, were expressed through what in English is called stories, and in the winter times, and my people talking to one another, and our elders teaching our young people. And now, because of so much of our people being fragmented, which of course is not our making, it's the colonial history of what's happened to us, I think community radio really is a way of reaching out to future generations, the young people, to instill pride and to share knowledge and teachings, not only because they are part of our history, but because the knowledge and teachings of our elders and ancestors are really ways of knowing how to live even in the modern time and even in the future. And it's really important. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, again, I see a lot of this as just basically white supremacy in a different form, that Native radio, Native media is still struggling to be heard in mainstream press. Really doesn't allow our voices to be heard very much. There's very little funding or even support in newsrooms for Native radio, as an example. And I think, you know, white supremacy is where Anglo people think they know best and know everything. And we see this a lot in science, where I know I've gone with different elders to different hearings on land rights cases and protecting Mother Earth Day against an oil company, or on a fishing issue, an oil company offshore. And the elders will know very much the ecology and the history of that particular part of Mother Earth, but because they don't have a so-called university degree, and because their testimony is not written down but is oral, it's relegated to the term like folklore or anecdote. And that's just another type of icy colonialism or white supremacy, where we're not equally, our knowledge and science is not considered equal with so-called Western science, because much of our wisdom is oral. I don't know if you'd agree with that or not.
I would totally agree with that. Jackie, your comments about what Ona said about, you know, for me it is social Darwinism. It goes back to the social Darwinism where, you know, they seemingly, their scientific justification for capitalism and whatever else is meant through that inequality is seen through wealth, position, and power. Basically are inevitable that they are to define a civilization of the world, and yet the competition and conflict between groups has risen within the United States and other places in the world through globalism as eco-racism, which is happening to us as Native people. And to go back to that idea of white supremacy, which is a bad word to a lot of listeners who don't want to hear that, because a lot of our listeners are of that color. And even within the United States, there are Native people, and maybe you'll agree or disagree, Jackie, is Native people within the United States have also accepted that idea, basically, that we came across the Bering Strait.
Yeah.
Your comments, Jackie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, first, justification. What a word that is. I mean, some people use that to justify just about anything. You know, thinking in the better good. So we're going to do these things, even though they're not totally ethical or totally right, but we're going to do them anyway because we're justified, because we have the best of everybody in mind. I mean, we see that in the workplace, we see that at the radio, we see that so many places where people can always justify what they do. And as far as going out to Native communities, you know, the Native people, they want to see us because they see the other people, and sometimes when the other media goes into our territories, they're not respectful. They don't know how to take a picture. I mean, they go up to anything, even places where they're not supposed to be, and take their pictures or take their audio. They don't know how to be respectful in our communities many times. And I remember being in one area where I came with, and I had a camera, but I was being very cautious about it. But one of the people there came up to me and said, you know, oh, you're a journalist. Good. It's so good to see a Native person behind the camera, you know. And that really supported me, and that really was just, they want to see us in the places, because we have all these other people interpreting who we are instead of for us. And in the mainstream media. So back to your question. Well, what exactly, again, what was exactly your question?
Basically, you know, when we were talking about the, you answered it in part about the I guess I should rephrase it into a physical or a philosophy of individualism, which is very foreign to the philosophy of nature, which, you know, is inclusive, and it does not, it's very egalitarian in its thinking and its processes, where the philosophy of individualism is more about mechanistic science, and, you know, it's something where it is removed into categories. You know, social Darwinism comes in, and that's the third time I've said that this program, but it is about individuality in the United States, the competition and the conflict between those groups having arisen in between. Well, you, if you only get your education in the Western way, that you will make something of yourself and you will have civilization. And our, as Native people, our view of what they are doing as far as success is concerned is not necessarily success to Native people.
Yeah.
Ours is evaluated, and the value is seen through the worth of spirituality. I think that's basically the comment and question I had, Jackie.
Well, okay, you know, I guess in thinking about that, I think they have to have a strong aha moment that really changes, I'm talking about the non-Native world's perception of their relationship to indigenous people, because I don't think if you're going to be an American or going to live in this culture or this country or even any country where indigenous people are, if you aren't reconciled with how you think about indigenous people, your relationship, you're in relation to the original people of whatever land you might have come through because of colonization, then that has to happen. And I think that for people, when they finally get it and really have that strong moment where, oh my God, you know, they have to get to there where they really see through some part, in some way, through our eyes, what all this means to be indigenous in this country, to have all of the things that happened, they really happened. You know, this is not a fantasy. We're not telling stories. We're not making it up. All of these things that have happened to indigenous people,
mm-hmm.
how we're still a part of this legacy of who we are. We're not disappeared. And it would be easier for some people if they could just go on with the myths and forget about our realities, what the reservation system was all about, what all of this is all about, how they really have to get to where they do, in some ways, the way we see it, to really feel that. Otherwise, it's still mythical stuff. It's still, they can just kind of play with it, do with it, you know, with whatever they want. But I think it's real important. And I think it's real important to the education of people to really have that reconciliation in their minds and their hearts.
Jacqueline Batiste of KPFT Houston, would you also give commentary on that the individual in this society is a primary reality and that societies are actually collections of individuals, and I'm sort of getting into the social functionalism of this society, and it's also carried to its extreme. You know, logically, individualism leads to some doctrine, and what happens as a result of individuality is pure anarchy. Basically, I'm looking to the political situation here in the United States, where you know, the central tenet of the liberal tradition, the liberal, the political, the progressive, excuse me, the liberal progressive alternative people, and also the modern white right wing, have outgrowths of that, and basically it comes to supremacy of the state, and it's defining our laws and our order in you know, imposition of foreign relations, and basically America is a foreign relationship to native people.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the waging of war, they got us fighting their wars for them now, you know, and we have nothing to do with it, because, you know, as a native person, you know, again, I have some relatives in Iraq, and they're wondering whether or not, you know, hey, we're destroying Earth, which is the primary focus of all of us, which should be at least. And I going back to what I just stated about the philosophy that, you know, individualism is the start of racism, and that's what I'd like to say. And because there is nothing about unity in America, patriarchy and patriotism is not unity. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I mean, I'll just say this quickly. It's just that, again, with the justification and the individualism, you know, individualism is disguised by a lot of language where people are really working out of their own either protection for their position or manipulating, and all of this under the words of unity, you know, under the words of progressive thinking or philosophy, that sort of thing. And sometimes I'm getting sometimes some certain progressive people confused with liberal people, because some of that all sounds the same to me, you know. Anyway,
that's
what I have to say.
That's great. Yes, we have a couple minutes here, Onus. Yes, your commentary.
As you and Jackie were speaking, what came to my mind was what you folks were talking about, myth. And that gets back to, I think, the importance of Native radio, community radio, of helping to educate and correct the purposeful miseducation and misrepresentation of indigenous peoples' cultures and histories, to get rid of the stereotypes. And, you know, like, for example, I'm always talking a lot about how the so-called Thanksgiving Day holiday is a whole fictitious fantasy created by, you know, American people, white people, and the real history and truth of what happened to the Pokanoket Wampanoag at a toxic called Plymouth, Massachusetts, you know, is so much created this story. And it's really critical that Native radio helps to really correct the misinformation, the miseducation, and to speak the truth, not confrontational all the time, but it now in the 2004, Americans need to wake up and really understand the 512 years of colonialism and the abuse to Mother Earth.
Onus Pritzker, thank you for joining us from RFPI, Radio for Peace International, and also Jacqueline Batiste of KPFD in Houston, of the famous, infamous two, I believe it's the two, the only radio station in the United States that bombed twice. You know, it's been...
Our transmitter.
Your transmitter was bombed twice by the KKK. I mean, that speaks volumes right there. And in the same way, Native radio has been hit and terrorized throughout this land all that time, even before there was radio. And our oral tradition is truly our radio, our sweat lodges, our ceremonies, our networking going on in that spiritual war that we have to, you know, we're defending Mother Earth. And then basically that's it, and I'm sure my two guests would agree with that. And
yes.
You are listening to Yat Kedichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Well, dear friends, we are at the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. I hope you appreciated today's program on Indigenous peoples in the media, the role of journalism, and how oral tradition is a very important way of informing the public and educating people on cultural history in an accurate and truthful way. We only have a moment to say thank you to my brother Teokas and Ghost Horse, who is host and producer of WBAI, Pacifica Radio Station's First Voices Indigenous Radio Show. And also, of course, I want to thank the other person that shared the airwaves with me that was interviewed by Teokasin, and that was Jacqueline Batiste, host of KPFT's People of Earth radio program. We shall conclude today's broadcast with a flute song from my brother Ed Wind Dancer from his CD Breath of My Soul. And this is a very fine, short song that is entitled Here I Am, Creator. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio program, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinawantakwasin, to all of our relations.